I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, April the 2nd. Well, Passover begins tonight. Easter is next Sunday. Do you dread getting together with your family for the holidays? Or perhaps you don't get together all that much anymore because you don't have the time, or maybe you don't want to. Maybe you've had enough of your parents' criticism and unwanted advice. Maybe you're a mom or a dad who wonders why your children don't call that much anymore. Maybe you're a step-parent who doesn't feel accepted. Maybe you're concerned about the choices your adult children are making. And maybe you don't feel like calling them back to hear another request for a loan. Well, our guest this hour has heard it all. She sought to find out how to improve or maintain loving relationships between adult children and their parents. And we will welcome your questions for her and perhaps your own stories, your own experiences of a struggling relationship, perhaps, with an adult child or parent, or how you healed that relationship, if you have healed it. Have you discovered the secret to a strong adult-child-parent relationship or need some guidance? Well, we welcome your call this hour at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest this hour is Jane Isay. She's been a book editor for more than 40 years, and she is now an author, the author of the recently published Walking on Eggshells, Navigating the Delicate Relationship Between Adult Children and Parents. Good morning.
Good morning, and how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Well, you edited some very well-known books in your first career from some authors who have been on this program and others on Wisconsin Public Radio, like Rachel Simmons and her book Odd Girl Out, Mary Pfeiffer, Reviving Ophelia, and many others. You also tried to get your authors to write a book for parents and their grown children, but no one took you up on that.
I was very lucky in that regard, although I didn't think it was so when I started out. Here's what happened. When my kids were in their late 20s and early 30s, I found that I missed them terribly. They didn't return my phone calls. And while we had perfectly pleasant relations, they would come for dinner, we would do an occasional holiday, I felt that I was moving to the periphery of their lives. And I didn't know how to talk to them. I didn't have a playbook. My friends felt the same way, and we all decided we were walking on eggshells. So I tried to get a number of my authors to write the book, but this kind of a book you only want to write if you're really feeling it in your heart. So after 40 years as an editor, I decided I would take the plunge and write the book myself.
Yeah, so how did you go about researching the book?
I traveled. I did about 70 interviews, most of them in person. I traveled around the country. I went to big cities and small cities. And I also interviewed a lot of people on the telephone. And I divided it pretty much equally between the parent generation and the grown children generation. Of course, I interviewed grown children from their 20s to their 50s, mm-hmm. and parents from their 50s to their late 70s. So I really have five decades of people who talked to me and told me their stories and shared their joys and their difficulties.
Yeah, and was there a common thread that bonded the parent generation and the child generation?
Well, you know, the most wonderful news, Joy, and it still warms my heart. Although I'm used to it now, is that both generations want it to work. Mm-hmm. The young ones, they love us even if they don't return our phone calls.
Yeah.
They love us even if they blow up at holidays. A number of the grown children told me how many days they could last at home over a holiday weekend.
Two?
Well, they'd start at five, and then they'd look at me and say four, or start at four and say three. It's just one of those things. But that doesn't mean they don't love us. And, of course, from the parents' generation, there may be guilt and there may be sorrow, but the love between the generations and the desire to make it work is profound. And once you know that, it makes it easier.
Yeah. Well, if they love us, now I don't have children, but if they love us, why don't they return our phone calls?
Well, you know, they're busy building their own lives. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, when they're in their 20s, I call it the gotta-go generation, they'll call us maybe, and just when we're about to settle into a really good conversation, they'll say, gotta go, Mom.
Gotta go, yeah.
Yeah, and I have one wonderful story in the book of a woman whose children don't call much, but on Thanksgiving, her daughter called from a city far away 8 times to figure out how to cook the turkey. Mom, do I put him leg up or back up, and so on. And it was wonderful, even though each conversation was a minute. But when they're in their 20s, they're like toddlers. They want to be independent, but they also need us. And when they feel themselves being too needy, they run away.
Yeah. Well, now, that particular example, though, is one of where the daughter wanted advice. I was sensing that giving advice was a source of the friction for the most part.
I think you can give good advice up to a turkey recipe. And actually, recipes, it's interesting. A lot of kids call for directions how to cook. They know their mothers know how to do it. They're trying to replicate what the taste they love. And it's a wonderful bond. I have a son who cooks, and for the first couple of years he was doing this, he would call for details. And it was wonderful. It was totally non-loaded. A simple, happy conversation about food.
Yeah. Well, I wish I didn't call my mom for that, because she's one of the few moms that didn't know how to cook. But anyway, we are going to check our weather forecast and then continue talking about how to improve your relationship with your adult children, or the other way around, how to improve your relationship with your parents. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, Jane Isay, who is the author of the book Walking on Eggshells. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, April the 2nd. And we're looking for your questions about, or your experiences with, your stories about your relationship with either your adult children or your parents. Our guest is Jane Isay. She is the author of Walking on Eggshells, Navigating the Delicate Relationship Between Adult Children and Parents. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Jane Isay, please tell us about the experience you had with one of your sons when he, didn't he ask you to attend a therapy session with him and his counselor?
Yes, I have to tell you, this is one of the, I thought to myself, oh, my, this is 21st century parenting.
Mm-hmm.
But I went with him because, of course, I would do anything my son asked. And it was a very interesting session. He was the one who opened the door to me. We sat together, and he said, Mom, I just want you to hear this. I think I'm losing you, and I love you, and I don't want to lose you.
Now, why did he think he was losing you?
For the same reason that I've just described. Mm-hmm. He was busy and I was busy. Mm-hmm. I had recently remarried, and we were both in slightly different worlds, and he wanted those worlds to be blended again. And we did it. And
how did you do it?
Well, we spent a long time. I would go. He had an office downtown in Manhattan. I'd take the subway from my office, and we'd have lunches. And he'd tell me all the things I'd done wrong. And I listened, and I apologized.
Mm-hmm.
Listening on both sides and apologizing on both sides of this generation gap can make a tremendous difference. Just a tremendous difference. And then after a while, we started talking about other things, which made me very happy.
Yeah. And one of the things he was stressed about or concerned about was the relationship with his stepfather.
Yes, well, this is something that I found is universal. Mm-hmm. When there's a remarriage when the children are grown, adult, let me put it this way, it's always a little bit tense because it's not about the personality of the new spouse. It's about the old family relationship. And it's a difficult passage which takes a lot of tact and some time to work on. In my book, I say, if you are a step-parent, don't take the hostility of the grown children personally. One woman in the book said to me, they don't know me well enough to hate me as much as they do.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the facts of life. And you also, I found, one of the women in my book, Walking on Eggshells, said, told me a story. Her father and his wife had come to visit. And how was the weekend, I asked. And she said, it went fine until she called me her daughter. I have a mother, she said.
Mm.
So you just have to be very, you have to take your ego out of it and be very careful. And if you do that, things will eventually get better. You know, this is a new stage of parenting. It goes on for 30 years if you're lucky. If your kids are in their 20s and you're in your 50s, you've got 30 years to get it right. And there's a certain, and the little tiny things you do can make a big difference.
Yeah. And so what sorts of, what sorts of tiny things?
Well, there's a father I talked to in the Midwest who's got 5 grown children. They're all married. And he happens to have the same sense of humor as one of his daughters-in-law. So he clips those funny little items from the local newspaper, mm-hmm. and he just puts them in an envelope. And every couple of weeks, he sends the envelope off to her. That's a small thing. It just says, thinking of you. I know a grandma who offered to take the grandchild for New Year's Eve so the kids could go out without having to worry about a babysitter. That's a tiny thing. It doesn't matter. And I know a lot of kids who do the one who say the magic word to their parents, pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Mom, how you doing?"
Yeah. Now these are all examples of maybe parents and children who have grown apart because of busy lives, and
yes.
and it's nothing. I don't want to say it's not serious, but what about if there really was some sort of serious breach or something that that you're not speaking to a parent for years and years and years?
Well, you know, the people that I interviewed who had that experience also, some of them had the experience of coming back together. Not everybody does, and for some people it doesn't make sense. But a number of the young people I spoke to had fathers who were alcoholic or abusive when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And when the fathers got a little bit older and stopped drinking so much, or when they're on new medication, frankly, there's all this wonderful medication now, they wanted their daughters and sons back. And if they showed a certain kind of repentance and that they changed their behavior, they were welcomed back. One of the things that is so important is that if everybody wants the relationship to work, and it goes on for this parenting and childing goes on for a long time, an apology, a change in behavior is welcomed.
Yeah. Let me go to the phones. Bessema in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. How are you, ladies?
Thank you for calling. We're fine.
This is such a wonderful topic. I'm so glad you're talking about it. I am a divorced mother of 5, and I remarried, so I know all of those gamuts that you're talking about. But I actually have 5 wonderful children.
Wonderful.
And I think the key that she's talking about is we treat each other as human beings.
Bessema, you are a wise woman. One of the women in my book offered, I think, what is the best advice. You boil it all down, which is keep your mouth shut and your door open. I bet you do that, too.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All of my children are grown. 2 of them are married. My youngest is going to get married in a year or so. But when you talk about those problems with fathers, my children's father from my first marriage was very distant, and he was an African-American man. He was very stern, and he didn't show emotions. And so my boys missed that because I'm the exact opposite. And when we divorced, their relationship, even though I would send them every summer to visit with their father, it just was estranged. But we ended up having a crisis with one of my sons in the court system. And by God, that man came up from Missouri every 2 weeks. He worked with my sons, and they all got back together. And you're correct. If people come back, kids will forgive them, and they can build on relationships. So now they have a good relationship, and I'm so glad.
Thank you very much, Bessema, for the call. And
yes, ma'am.
What about the? You say that all of your children are married now too?
No, just two of them.
Oh, just two.
I have a set of twins. I have twin girls and three boys. My middle son is married, and it is a little different. My oldest twin gave me my first grandson. He's 11 months, and of course, he's the greatest thing that ever lived on earth. But my middle son, his wife. They have a 7-month-old son, and as much as I love him, I don't get to see him as often as you do when the mother is your daughter.
You know, that's a very interesting point, Bessema, and I cover it in my book. If you have sons who have, when they have children, you really, really need to, actually, when they get married, it is very good if you can work out some kind of a genuinely loving relationship with the daughters-in-law, not only because they hold the keys to the grandchild, which they do, but also because they love your son. She loves your son, and there must be something really wonderful about her. So it's a key thing. I only have sons, and I have two divine daughters-in-law, I'm happy to tell you, but it really matters.
Yeah. And the talk a little bit more about keep your door open and your mouth shut.
Well, this wise woman has 7 children, and they all live, and they're all married, and they all live within 10 miles of her. So I figured she knew something.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a wonderful conversation, which is in the book. And at the end of it, I said, so Sheila, tell me the magic sentence. And she said, keep your mouth shut and your door open. And what she meant was, keep your criticism and your advice to yourself. They're grown people. They want to make their own mistakes. Keep your door open. You love them. You treat them like adults, and they're always welcome, not only with the good news, but also with the painful news.
Yeah. What about, though, if grandma thinks that daughter-in-law or even daughter is not raising grandchild properly, doing something that that might even be harmful. You still keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, you really. Well, you know, it's really important. When we were raising our children, we didn't want advice from our parents. Every generation raises children differently. In my generation, I used to give my kids cookies to shut them up.
Mm-hmm.
In this generation, sugar is a no-no.
Yeah,
we used to watch a lot of television. We used to watch Sesame Street every morning. In this generation, for many families, television isn't such a good thing. So you have to roll. You have to accept the fact that it's going to be a new way of raising children. And I know I've met some people whose children decided not to vaccinate the babies. You know, there's a theory that that's dangerous. And it's very painful, but there's nothing you can do about it. If you complain and you criticize and you offer advice, you'll just make a distance. They've made their decision, and there's nothing much you can do.
Our guest is Jane Isay. She is the author of Walking on Eggshells, Navigating the Delicate Relationship Between Adult Children and Parents. We will check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Monday, April the 2nd. We are discussing the relationships between adult children and their parents. And we welcome your input on this. Are you as close with your adult children as you would like to be? What's your secret? Do you roll your eyes when your mom calls and then cut the conversation short, saying, you gotta go? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Our guest this hour wasn't as close to her sons, her adult sons, as she wanted to be. And then she found out she was not alone. She interviewed people all over the country from ages 25 to 70, and she found out how common it is, the struggle to make this adult-child-parent relationship work. And the result of her research is Walking on Eggshells, a new book, Navigating the Delicate Relationship Between Adult Children and Parents. And we welcome your input, your questions for her, your stories, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Jane Isay has been an editor for over 40 years, edited some very well-known best-selling books, and decided to write her own book this time. And again, the result is Walking on Eggshells. I'm getting lots of calls coming in, Jane Isay, but I wonder if, is there one piece of advice that we haven't discussed so far that you think is important in this adult-child-parent relationship?
Well, I think the second most important piece of advice is don't give advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other piece of advice has to do with the fact that there's a long, long time to get things right. And this doesn't have to be, if you think that other people you know have a perfect relationship with all their children, you probably don't know them that well. Everybody keeps working at this as long as we live, and we hope to live a long time.
Yeah. And this is, this is really, really important. My parents have both passed away long ago, my father 20 years ago, my mother 10 years ago. But
Yeah. Even
to this day, the siblings, the children, have things to say about what mom and dad did right or wrong, and it's still, there's still some wounds there.
Yes, mm-hmm. Well, but that's mm-hmm. part of life. And it's wonderful that you were all getting together and talking
mm-hmm.
about it.
Yeah. Well, let's take our next caller, Judy in Whitewater. Hi, Judy. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
I unfortunately suffered a huge rift between my mother as well as my entire family of origin after the birth of my third child, whom I named after one brother rather than both.
Yeah.
And my mother, who's always been very domineering and controlling, became even more so when I didn't do as I was told, so to speak, and actually took a stand and stood up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it just created a huge rift, which has we've never been the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I had sought therapy for, and have tried very hard to move on, but unfortunately, my mother just rather refuses to.
Mm. That's so hard. You know, the psychologists keep telling us you can't change other people, you can only change yourself. And that's a very hard lesson to learn when you're suffering such a rift. How old is your third child?
He's 2.5.
Okay, well, you got some time. I think that you're losing, your mom is losing more because she's lost you and all of your children.
Yes.
And it's a small thing. It would seem to me that it was a small thing, but I know what it's like when our parents are so authoritarian. It's hard to deal with. I think you're in a spot here, but if you give it time and you do the little tiny things without expecting anything, it might help. Send her a picture of your children. Send an email or leave a message just saying, I love you and miss you, without asking or implying that you need a response. I've found in my research all over the country working on Walking on Eggshells, I learned from wise people that when there's a rift like this, just small messages, love, expressed in many ways can help. I also found that people who create a rift feel guilty about it. And when you're guilty, you get defensive. So, and I'm sure that she's suffering too. It's not easy for her.
Yes, yes.
And if she were to know, I found many families where there was a rift, if the children told the parents that they still loved them, the waters got a little less stormy. And that's all I can suggest. And I think that she's probably feeling bad, just as you are. And you can't change her, but you can show her that you love her.
Yeah, well, that's a beautiful bit of advice. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Judy, and good luck to you. Yeah, that is that's sad when there's no contact at all. I have a good friend who had a rift with her mother, suggested the friend that they go to counseling together. The mother refused, and boy, they haven't spoken for years.
It's just tragic, and everybody is suffering.
Mm-hmm. Bill in Superior is with us. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Hi, Jane. I'm in my mid-50s. I don't have any children, unfortunately. I call my mother every day, and I thought I would mention this because it gets really frustrating. I have four siblings, and of the five of us, this happens to four of us, and there's some family dynamics there that too extensive to get into here. But when I'm talking to my mother or my one brother or my two sisters are talking to her, she'll pretend like she hears you, but you can tell she's not listening. She'll answer with a yeah. And it always seems that when one of my friends or one of my siblings' friends or spouses are talking to her, she doesn't have any problem hearing this. So it's almost as if she's putting up a shield between us, and there's not really any family problems that I'm aware of. It's just that she seems to not really pay attention to her own children, and it's very frustrating. And, I called to make this comment because I think sometimes parents might understand why their children aren't getting in touch with them, but if they make it frustrating for them, it's hard to continue to do that.
Yeah.
Bill, you're absolutely right, and I think you give the parents' generation a very, very important message. We got to pay attention to you. If we don't, it's going to create distance.
It could have a tendency to do that, certainly.
Yeah. And do you still call her every day, Bill?
Oh, yes.
And you're a great son.
Sometimes twice a day, actually. Sure.
Well, you're wonderful. And you know what? Even though she's not paying much attention to you, if you didn't call her, she would be miserable.
Oh, I do realize that. So thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you very much for making it. We're talking with Jane Isay. She is the author of Walking on Eggshells, a book that talks about the relationship between adult children and their parents. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for her, your stories, your own experiences. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 14 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, April the 2nd. Coming up after 7 o'clock, it's our State Capitol Report. We'll talk some about the hotly contested State Supreme Court race, which is on the ballot tomorrow. There was a debate on between the candidates on Friday night. We'll talk some about that, plus other issues being debated at the State Capitol in our State Capitol Report after 7 o'clock. Right now, we welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, who wrote a book on improving, maintaining the relationship, the delicate relationship between adult children and their parents. The book is called Walking on Eggshells. Jane Isay is our guest. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We wonder if you have a strained relationship with your adult children, or maybe the other way around, with your parents. Are you someone who wonders why your children don't call you? Are you a frustrated son or daughter, like maybe Bill in Superior says, well, he does call every day, but mom isn't really listening to him? How do you improve your relationship? How have you maybe improved your relationship with your adult children or parents? Maybe you need some advice? Doreen in West Bend is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I have to say that the title is what encouraged me to call in Walking on Eggshells. Mm-hmm. I have four children, two of whom are stepchildren, and one who's away at college and one still at home. And it is the two older girls that I think about with this topic, because we were estranged for about 4 years as they became adults and started their own lives. And it was an incredible journey to rekindle our relationship. And I think some of the things that you talk about with natural children apply to blended families as well. I don't know if it's more difficult. I know what I've been through. I haven't had my sons put me through what the other ones went through, but I'm so glad now that I've learned some of these lessons from them, and it's wonderful. And they extended the olive branch to us. So
isn't that wonderful?
I say to anybody, listen to your kids, and if they extend the olive branch, open the door.
Well, Doreen, you're a wise woman. You know, could you tell us some more of your tips about how to make it work?
Oh, I could do the whole show, but it's been, first of all, I think you have to listen to them.
Yes.
You know, it takes so much time, but it's such good time invested.
Yes.
And you have to really think about, my father was a big influence in my life. He lost his mother when he was 8 months old, and so he cherishes family because of his own experience.
Yes.
And he always told me, never close the door. And to those who are considering marrying into a blended family, what he told me was, when you marry your husband, you marry his children.
I think that's very, very, very wise advice. I think the other thing about stepchildren is that you really need to take your own ego out of it. You didn't raise them. You don't have the same responsibility or guilt about how they are in the world. All you need to do is figure out, and it's not just a small thing, figure out how to make a good relationship with them. Once you do, they're as dear and as beloved and as fulfilling as your natural children. One woman in my book had a stepdaughter who was really a troubled kid for a long time, and she felt closer to her than the natural parents because she didn't feel guilty about having raised her.
Yeah, and it is hard to figure out, you know, walking on eggshells parts, I think, because as a stepmom, I sometimes felt, quite frankly, that I had to live up to a different standard.
Yeah.
And not to let yourself fall into that, to just be yourself and to be who you are. And I found out they loved me for that.
Yeah,
you know,
there's so much love between the two generations. And sometimes it disappears and you can't trust that it's there. But I found in all of the research I did for Walking on Eggshells, the love is there, even if it's not expressed. It's potentially there. And you just have to really be wise, if you can, and calm and listen, and you'll find it. And once you see a glimmer of it, that tiny little glimmer, that tiny little thing, you have more confidence and the relationship gets better. It's all about little things.
The one thing I do stress is to, for myself, I have found, even with my boys, but I'm not an expert, but especially with the girls, is let them live the life they choose.
Yeah.
You know, if they choose a different path than you hope for them, be happy for them.
Yes.
Because that's their choice at a certain age. You're not going to influence that. You can support them. I mean, provided they're not in harm's way. But
sure.
If it's what they want, that's good enough for me. I mean, I always say it's my job to raise my kids to be happy adults. And
I couldn't agree more. And I think that's also true with grandchildren, that they make your grown kids want to raise their children the way they want to. And there's nothing much you can do to change their decisions. But what they really need is your support and love, because especially new parents are so nervous about the baby and about all of those issues in the first couple of years. And love and support at that time are like manna from heaven.
Doreen, thank you very much for the call and sharing your story. Sounds like you are an expert.
Yes.
Mary in Westby is with us now. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Good morning. I was getting up and listening to your program, and at that point, hearing so many people talk about the problems they have with their children and parents, and I'm thinking, my relationship with my two daughters, who are both adults now, is the joy of my life.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I'm a psychotherapist, and I deal with a lot of families who have problems within the family. And I think very often as families, we repeat our parents' mistakes. How our parents were parented comes down into how we were parented. And I think one of the things we need to do is look very closely at those behaviors and those attitudes and make the changes, because we're adults now. We know what hurt us as children, and we need to make sure we don't repeat that mistake.
Yeah. I know. I would certainly agree with that. I mean, don't we all say, I'm never going to do that when I'm a mom? But we do anyway, you think, Mary?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And when I deal with parents who have been abusive to their children,
yes,
that's their greatest shame and guilt, is that they said they would never do that to their children.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, raising kids, we get to the point where we're going to lose it if we don't switch off or switch on that control button. And so then we go back to what was...
But we were raised with
parenting. Yeah. Exactly.
So, Mary, what is your secret to your success of having such a good relationship with your two adult daughters?
Probably luck.
I think there's more than luck to this, Mary. I really do.
Well, you know, one of the things that I learned when they were young was, as adults, we're not perfect.
Yeah.
And we need to tell our children when we have made mistakes, especially in their discipline.
I agree.
And say, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I am very sorry. I made a mistake. And start that when they're little.
You know, Mary, I agree with you completely. And I found through my life, but also all the way through researching the book, that a genuine apology is like magic, because it shows that you are aware of your flaws, and all we want from our children is for them to see us as the flawed human beings we are, and all our children want is to be seen as the flawed human beings, but lovable human beings they are, and there's nothing like a real apology to set things right.
Yeah. You know, we haven't talked a lot about the other end of the spectrum, where maybe the kids, the adult children, are the ones that are making the mistakes. Like, I know some parents who are tired of every time here's one example.
Yeah.
A son who is a young adult who was very upset with someone I know for not co-signing a kind of risky mortgage loan, saying that, hey, you know, I can't co-sign this, and you're on your own. And that adult child being very resentful that the loan wasn't coming or the co-signing
right.
wasn't coming. What about that kind of situation?
Well, money is a hot button, mm-hmm. and this is a very good example to bring up. Parents have a right to use their money the way that it makes sense. They need to be fair between their children, but co-signing loans is one of the really hot, difficult questions. This is a situation that is very hard to solve. I would bet that they decided not to co-sign this loan because he's asked them for money before.
Probably.
Yeah. One of the families in my book had a very wise solution to something like this. Now, I can't, I can't solve it on the radio. Their daughter had dropped out of college 4 or 5 times. And, you know, they were stuck with the tuition bill for the semester.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally cleaned up her act, and could she have the tuition for her new effort? And the father was really wise. He said, I'll pay you when you get your, when you complete, I will, you pay for your tuition. I'll give you the money back when you've completed the course. And actually, the mother fronted the money, but she did it, and she got her money back. She paid back her mother, and she took responsibility for it. And I think one of the things we need to help our children with is to be clear about what money really means. Sometimes it means love. Sometimes grown kids, little kids and grown kids think it's a never-ending supply. And that's a tricky one, but if you can talk clearly with your kids and have it out with all of them at the same time, one of the things I learned is that if you're going to talk about money, bring all your children together, because they're going to tell each other what's going on behind your back anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could go on this topic, I'm sure, for quite some time,
yes.
But we are out of time for this hour, and I want to thank you very much for being with us.
That's my pleasure.
Jane Isay is the author of Walking on Eggshells, Navigated the Delicate Relationship Between Adult Children and Parents. If you would like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, you can call the radio store 1-800-747-7444. You can also listen to all of our talk shows that are archived on our website, WPR.org. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing this program. Thanks to Karen Prager for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.